This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa usalli wa usallimu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Nabiyyina wa habibina wa kurrati a'yunina Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi afdalu salati wa atamu taslim amma ba'd. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Him, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyam. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, I advise myself, I remind myself, and then all of you all present here to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during every single second of our lives, if we wish to attain success, if we wish to attain victory in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Noble Quran, in Surah Yusuf, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He informs the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, نَحْنُ we نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. We narrate unto you, we tell unto you the best of stories. Ahsan is in the superlative form, it means the best. Nothing more beautiful, nothing better. The best of stories, qasas is the plural of qissa, the best of stories unto you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went on to narrate the story of the Prophet Yusuf unto Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now interestingly, we have another surah in the Noble Quran, another chapter in the Noble Quran, titled Qasas, titled Stories. Here in Surah Yusuf, Allah says, we narrate unto you the best of Qasas, the best of stories. And then on the other hand, we also have a chapter, a surah known as Surah Al-Qasas. Now in that particular surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala captures the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now I want to touch on something important here to remind ourselves that Allah Azza wa Jal has this amazing way of storytelling. Today when you take writers, when you take authors, when you take maybe even certain video directors, there is this art of storytelling to keep the audience engaged, to keep the audience intrigued, to keep their curiosity piqued. You have certain books that start off with a suspense moment. You have certain videos perhaps that start off with a suspense moment. Maybe with an individual falling off a building or something like that, he falls into black darkness and then the video begins. So it intrigues your curiosity to try and find out how did the main character end up in such a way. Even in books, it starts off in such a way to pique our interest. The Quran has this amazing way of storytelling. You take the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, for example, it is scattered across the Quran, but you have it almost as if in seasons, episode after episode. You have sequels. You have a certain number of episodes in Surah Taha, a certain number of episodes in Surah Al-Qasas, and it's almost as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Taha, He starts off in the middle of the story. He's appointed as a prophet. So what about the beginning? What about his birth? What about what happened in the palace of Fir'aun? That you get it in Surah Al-Qasas, almost as if season 2 is a flashback of the story. The story starts off in the middle. The main character is appointed as a prophet, and the story goes on from there. And it's almost as if it's a flashback where you go back to the beginning. Now he's a young boy, he's just born. Season 2 is a flashback in Surah Al-Qasas. Now in Surah Al-Qasas, the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is beautifully put forth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there almost seems to be a relationship between Surah Al-Qasas and Surah Yusuf. And this, the scholars of Tafsir beautifully highlighted in the books of Tafsir. You see, generally speaking, between surahs you have a relationship. If you are discussing the Surah Baqarah, there's a relationship with Baqarah and Al-Fatiha. If you're discussing Surah Al-Imran, there's a relationship with Al-Imran and Baqarah. If you're discussing Surah Al-Nisa, there's a relationship with Nisa and Al-Imran. Subtle and beautiful connections. Now here in Surah Yusuf, Allah mentions Qasas, and there you have another surah called Qasas. So it almost seems as if there is this subtle connection, and subhanAllah, it is interwoven, the stories. It's mind-blowing. Now obviously time does not permit for us to go in length into both the stories, but I just want to point out the beautiful connections. Now we have two stories. In Surah Yusuf, we have the story of the Prophet Yusuf. In Surah Al-Qasas, we have the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. In both surahs, both stories begin with two young children. In Surah Yusuf, it's the Prophet Yusuf. In Surah Al-Qasas, it's the Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Two young children. What happens? These two young children, in Surah Yusuf, the child is loved dearly by the father. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was loved by his father Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. In Surah Qasas, it's Musa alayhi salatu wasalam who is loved dearly by who? His mother. Their father, her mother. And by the way, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam are also strongly connected. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is the great-great-grandfather of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Banu Israel, the tribe of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Israel is another name for Yaqub, the father of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So you see the connections. So it starts off with two young children. There Yusuf is loved by his father. Here Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is loved by his mother. They fear. The two parents fear. In Surah Yusuf, the father fears of danger inside the house. The siblings are plotting against Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. In the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in Surah Al-Qasas, the mother fears for her child, but not fear of something from inside the household, but from outside. The guards of Fir'aun are roaming, rampaging, ransacking houses. Whenever they see a newborn child, they're slaughtering the child. Because Fir'aun had seen a dream where a fire from Palestine comes, burns all the houses of the Egyptians, burns the palace and destroys his kingdom. So he has issued an order to kill all newborn children from Banu Israel. So she is scared of fear from outside. He is scared for his child, Yusuf, of something from inside. Now what happens? Eventually, both the children in both stories are thrown into water. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, by his own siblings, he is thrown into the bottom of a well. Fi ghayabat al-jub. In Surah Qasas, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is thrown into the river, is put into the river. And where do they end up? The two of them end up in Egypt. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was thrown in a well in Palestine. A caravan comes about, rescues him but does not take him home. They shackle him, they chain him. They bring him all the way to the Egyptian marketplace and they sell him as a slave. Who buys him? A minister from the palace. The same palace. You have to understand that Egypt was ruled by pharaohs. Not just one Fir'aun. There were many Fara'ina. There were many Fir'auns. This Fir'aun, the Fir'aun in the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, is the worst one of them all. He is the biggest oppressor, the biggest tyrant. But there were many pharaohs before him. Just as how you have Caesar ruling Rome, you have pharaohs ruling Egypt. So during the time of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam too, there was a pharaoh, but a minister from the palace comes and purchases him as a slave from the marketplace, takes him to the palace and tells his wife, "Asa an yanfa'ana aw natakhidahu walada," in Surah Yusuf. you know what? Maybe one day he'll benefit us. This child Yusuf will benefit us, or at least we can adopt him as a child. What happens with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in Surah Al-Qasas? He's put into that basket, like a box. The current of the river takes him where? To that same palace. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was taken, picked up by a man. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is picked up by a woman, the wife of Fir'aun. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was taken to the wife of that man. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was taken to the husband of that woman, Fir'aun. And the woman also says the same thing. Asa ayyanfa'ana aw natakhidahu walada. Don't kill him. La taqtulu. Don't kill him. Don't kill this child. Maybe this child will benefit us, or perhaps we can adopt him as a child one day. Now again, look at the connections, alright? In Surah Yusuf, the man who took Yusuf was a good man. The woman had bad character. Later on we're going to find out she'll try to seduce Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. In the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the wife of Fir'aun was a good lady, Asiya. High mention of her. She's such a pious and righteous lady. She takes Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to Fir'aun. Fir'aun is the bad guy. Fir'aun is the bad guy. You see these connections? Subhanallah. And the scholars of tafsir go on to list the connections. It doesn't end there. Allah mentions in both the surahs, now that they have reached the palace of Egypt, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا. Now they've grown up, fast forward, you know, in stories, in books, in videos, you have 5 years later, 8 years later, and now the camera shifts basically. So it's now 10 years or 15 years later, they've grown up now. وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا. They've grown up and we have given them knowledge, we have given them wisdom, and now the two of them fall into a fitna. Subhanallah. A fitna. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam falls into a fitna inside the palace. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam falls into a fitna outside the palace. Two different surahs, but look at the connections. And this is why, my dear brothers in Islam, there's nothing in the Quran that has come about by coincidence. Not even a single letter, not even a single word. If Allah used a specific word, there is a specific purpose and reason for that. The two of them fall into fitnas, one outside the palace, one inside the palace. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the lady of the palace, in other words, the wife of the minister, tries to seduce him. He does not fall for her seduction. The husband comes in while she's trying to seduce him, confronts the two, the case is brought forward, and it is clearly understood that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is innocent and he's been accused. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam goes outside the palace walls. He tries to stop two people from fighting. He tries to intervene, and he accidentally ends up killing someone. He ends up killing the Egyptian, killing a wrong person, but he ends up killing that person accidentally. What happens now? Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was innocent in that story. Here Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is guilty. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, innocent but accused, ends up in jail, ends up in prison. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam unintentionally committed the mistake, but yet he is guilty. He does not end up in prison. He flees from Egypt. He flees from Egypt. He's a fugitive. فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. Now they remain in prison. In the sense, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam remains in prison for many years. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes to Madian. He gets married. And he spends almost 8 to 10 years in Madian. And then now he comes back to Egypt. Just like Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam came back to the palace. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was brought to the palace and his innocence was declared. He interprets the dream of the king and his innocence was declared in front of everybody in the court of the king. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam comes back and he admits that he is guilty. He admits that, you know what, I did something that is wrong, but Allah has forgiven me. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam came back to save the kingdom. Okay, because he interprets the dream of the king that 7 years of famine and drought are coming about. You need to stock up your food, your provisions, and prepare for the famine and the drought. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam comes back to destroy the kingdom. The whole point of me mentioning all of these connections, my dear brothers in Islam, is for you to be blown away by the storytelling of the Quran, by the storytelling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, now that I've, inshallah, hopefully touched on the beauty of the storytelling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to quickly touch on the first story. None of us, no big scientists, none of us know how old the planet Earth is. It's many, many, many years old. But do you know, way before the creation of mankind, there were other creations populating planet Earth. Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, in his book Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah, he mentions that the jinn populated planet Earth. There was another creation by the name Hin. There was another creation by the name Bin. These creations populated planet Earth. And there was one individual by the name Azazil, who was a very righteous individual. He was pious, he was worshipping Allah, he had knowledge about Allah. One report states that he had prostrated unto Allah so much that you won't even find a hand span of space on earth except that he has prostrated to Allah on that spot. There was a lot of bloodshed, and Allah sends down an army of angels to contain the situation and to drive away the rebellious jinn. When this army came down, they observe Azazil, this righteous individual, from the jinn. They take him up to the heavens. And now he is worshipping Allah and he is rising in his ranks so much to the extent that he becomes from the teacher of the angels. And now comes about the fateful day when Allah decrees and Allah declares that he is going to create our father Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Our father Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is created. And now I want you all to picture this scene. A sea of angels. A sea. No one knows the number of angels that Allah has by him. A sea of angels. And there is one individual who is different from them. His name is Azazil. He's not an angel. Kana min al jinn. He was from the jinn. He is standing with the angels as well. And Allah commands all of them. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ. All of you prostrate unto Adam. فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. All of them prostrated except for this one individual, Iblis. He did not prostrate. So I want you to picture this scene. Thousands and thousands of angels immediately obeying the command of Allah, falling down in sujood. You see, when we're praying Salatul Jum'ah, when all of us come down in sujood, you hear the noise of knees hitting the ground. Think about that many angels falling down in sujood because Allah commanded them to prostrate. One individual standing all by himself in that sea of angels. This individual was Azazil, and from that day onwards he was known as Iblis, Shaitan. Aba wastakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. He refused, he became proud, he became arrogant. And in other places Allah mentions, when it was asked by him, why are you not prostrating? He went on to say, ana khayrun min, I am better than him. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار. You created me out of fire. وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِين. And you created him out of clay. Adam, why should I prostrate unto him? He was the first individual to compare. Today we compare. Oh, I'm richer than him. I live in a posher place. I'm running around in a more expensive vehicle. I have this many degrees. I'm educated. I'm a professional in this field. I have this title. Who is he? Pride. Arrogance. It destroys an individual. Pride only belongs to Allah. Even if you have a mustard seed of pride in your heart, you will not enter Jannah. And my dear brother, your wealth is nothing. It can be stripped away from you in seconds. Your education, if one nerve is pinched, you suffer amnesia, you lose everything, and then you even forget your own name. Subhanallah. That's how weak we are. So don't be proud about anything. Your condition can turn like this. There are so many stories of rags to riches and riches to rags. Subhanallah. This individual became proud. He said, I'm not going to prostrate. And from that day onwards, he was cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now swiftly, my dear brothers in Islam, I want to point out something and then conclude. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, our father, He was asked not to indulge. He was allowed to roam in Jannah. He was given Jannah by Allah, who is the most generous. There was just one thing that Allah forbade him from doing. He forbade our father and our mother, Adam and Hawa alayhima salatu wasalam, from indulging in the forbidden tree. Shaitan seduced them and they indulged in that tree. They indulged in it. But the minute Adam alayhi salatu wasalam realized that he had done something wrong, wa asa Adam, Allah says in the Quran, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam disobeyed. The minute he committed that, he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fatalaqa Adam min rabbihi kalimat. He turns to Allah in sincere tawbah. Now I want you all to observe the difference between Shaitan and Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. We are not from Shaitan. We are from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And as human beings, we commit mistakes. Left, right and center. Even our father did. But look at the difference. Shaitan refused to turn back to Allah. Instead, he went on to blame Allah. Rabbi, bima aghwaitani. You made me go astray. He blamed Allah. And he challenged Allah subhanahu. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam immediately acknowledged his mistake. Ya Allah, I have done wrong. Forgive me, Ya Allah. And Allah says, Fataba alayhi. We forgave him. He was forgiven. He was forgiven. This is the mercy of Allah. You see, the other day I was reading, there was a wise scholar. Even if you don't take anything away from me, take this. There was once a wise scholar who said, if I was given the chance to choose between my mother or Allah to judge me on the day of Qiyamah, if I was given the choice to choose my own mother, you know, the mother who loves us so much, the mother who gave birth to us, the mother who brought us into this world with so much of pain and difficulty, that very mother, even if you are a criminal to the entire world, she will hug you, she will embrace you. She will take you inside her home. That mother. If I had the choice to choose between that mother or Allah, I would choose Allah. Because Allah is many, 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 many more times more merciful than my own mother. This is Allah. If you think that your mother is merciful unto you, that your mother loves you, Allah is many more times merciful than that. He forgives Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. But Shaitan, he did not turn to Allah. He challenged Allah. He disobeyed Allah. And it was pride. You see the difference between the mistakes. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, it was he disobeyed Allah in regards to something related to desire. Desire, pleasure. Shaitan, on the other hand, arrogance, pride. Thinking high and mighty of himself. Allah hates that. If you commit a mistake, not that I'm trying to undermine mistakes. Wrong is wrong. But if you do a mistake related to your own desire, pleasure, immediately turn to Allah, Allah forgives you. But look at the gravity of the mistakes. Shaitan was arrogant. He was proud. And instead of turning to Allah and seeking the forgiveness of Allah, he went on to blame Allah. He went on to blame Allah. He said, you are the one who led me astray. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam did not do that. He pleaded with Allah, Ya Allah, forgive me, and Allah forgave him. That's the beauty of it. And look at the two du'as. Towards the end, Shaitan also makes a du'a. Towards the end, Shaitan makes a du'a. When it was said that you are cursed, when Allah said, I have cursed you until the day of Qiyamah, he immediately makes a du'a. Oh Allah, anzirni ila yawmi yub'athun. Give me time until the day of Qiyamah. On the other hand, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam asked for the forgiveness of Allah. Shaitan asked for dunya. Shaitan asked for life. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam asked for the forgiveness of Allah. And this is why, even in terms of our du'as, there's no harm in asking for dunya. But it should not only be dunya. And that's why Allah says in the Quran, there are those who make dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Oh Allah, give us only dunya. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. And they will not get anything of al-akhirah. But وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ. And there are those who say, ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. There are those who make dua, oh Allah, give us a good life in this world, and they don't stop there. Give us a good life in the hereafter, and also save us from the blazing fire of Jahannam. If you analyze the dua, two-thirds of it, three parts of the dua, dunya, akhirah, and protection from Jahannam, three parts. Two-thirds are related to al-akhirah, one-third related to dunya. This is basically how our priorities need to be. Don't ever over-prioritize dunya over al-akhirah, because at the end of the day, it's a short life. If you are 30 years old, perhaps another 30, that is, if you are guaranteed to live that long, what if you die tomorrow? What if you die today? Subhanallah. But al-akhirah, forever and ever and ever. Today, as intelligent individuals, we're thinking, what are the right investments to make? I need to put my money on property. If I put it on this, I lose the money. If I buy this vehicle, I lose my money. I need to maybe invest in gold. I need to invest in shares. I need to do this, I need to do that. We're thinking of so many things. At the end of the day, for another 30 to 40 years, and then you're gone, your heirs will start fighting over your wealth. But what about al-akhirah? There's no end to that life. What about a good house there? What about good investments there? What about land there? What about a good vehicle there? You need to plan. We are believers, we believe in al-akhirah. And we are going to be there forever and ever and ever. So we need to prioritize things, my dear brothers in Islam. So inshallah ta'ala, with that I conclude. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to prioritize al-akhirah over al-dunya. And I also pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a good life in this world as well as the hereafter. May He help us to turn to Him in sincere repentance. May He help us to do as many, many good deeds as possible. May He help us to purify our hearts of negative thoughts in regards to others. May He help us to eliminate and purge all toxic elements from our hearts and our minds and our souls. May He help us to purify our hearts. May He help us to be united as a community in this country. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless this country. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring about a good leadership for this country. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the economic situations of this country. May Allah bless our community, the Muslim community. May He keep us united. May He help us to move forward at a good and organic pace. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as how He has united us here in this masjid, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may He bless us all to drink from the hawd, from the fountain, from the blessed hands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'wa, yani alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.